A Simple Thing, written by Iridan, read by Marianas. Chapter 21, Alit. Din's first thought was sheer, overwhelming, crushing relief. Paz was alive. Din hadn't cost him his life by waiting around in the palace. He hadn't killed Paz on Navarro. He was alive, and Din was going to have the chance to help him. Then Din's mind caught up with his heart, and he realized several things at once. First, he didn't know this Mandalorian. He'd never seen her before. She wasn't Annika or one of the others from the covert in freshly painted armor. She was a stranger. Second, Din couldn't see anything on her. On her armor, hanging from her belt, tucked into one of the pouches strapped to her leg, that would help him figure out who she was. Third, she was injured. The bandage wrapped around her lower leg was smudged with dried blood, and she was holding herself to keep most of her weight off the injured limb. Her armor was beaten in and dented in places, badly scuffed in others. Carbon scored her cuirass and one side of her helmet. She was also unarmed. She had blaster holsters on both hips, another strapped across one thigh, slots for knives on the undersides of her gauntlets and the outer edges of her boots. All of her holsters and sheaths were empty. The sight of a Mandalorian without weapons was shocking. Wrong. Like seeing the pile of broken armor plates and abandoned helmets in the covert underneath Navarro City had been. The only thing that might have been more surprising was the idea of Paz following down the steps behind her, also weaponless, his helmet in his hands. But Paz, despite the Mandalorian's use of his name, didn't appear. This Mandalorian was alone.
Yeah, Boba said, tone as dry as the desert. I'm gonna need more than that, Mandalorian. Who are you and what do you want?
I've told you what I want, the Mandalorian said, still staring at Din. And it's nothing to do with you, Boba Fett.
Boba made a rough sound, a rumble or an overblown breath, and Din decided to step in before anyone could level their blaster. His own dropped towards the ground.
She's unarmed, Din thought. That means something. No Mandalorian would walk into a place like this, a place ruled by another Mandalorian, after being disarmed by an enemy, not unless they had no choice, which meant one of three things. That this one had left her weapons behind on purpose, either as an insult to Boba or because she, and by extension her companions, including Paz, were in desperate straits and needed Din's help at any cost. Or this was some kind of trap. Din's eyes kept catching on the rusty smudges on the Mandalorian's bandages, the dents and scuffs in her armor.
I didn't see any sign of fighting beneath Mos Entha, he thought. They left in a hurry, but no one was hurt, no one was killed. But that doesn't mean that they've been safe since they left the city. It's been days.
This is his court, Din said, jerking his head in Boba's direction. And I'm with him, so it is his business. The Mandalorian in black blew out a breath of her own, the sound of it crackling through the still throne room. Out of the very edges of his visor, Din could see Nura half-crouched behind the bar, watching the Mandalorian with wide eyes. There was a snub-nosed, rather large blaster in her hands. Din could see Fennec, too, taking a flanking position with her own blaster drawn, already aiming for the gaps in the Mandalorian's armor. The guard the Mandalorian had tossed down the stairs stirred feebly.
"You'll vouch for him," the Mandalorian asked Din, skeptically. "You know who he is?"
"He's a friend," Din said firmly, before Boba could open his mouth and make the situation worse. "I will vouch for him. He's always kept his word to me." And more. Boba hadn't just kept his word, and Din knew that by now. Boba had helped him, had gone out of his way to make Din comfortable, to make Din happy, to help him focus.
He is a friend, Din thought. He purposefully tried not to think of Boba as more than a friend, not here, not like this. Whatever had grown between them, whatever was sheltered by their bodies at night, whatever had taken root in Din's chest, behind his lungs, had no place here. Paz is in trouble. That's what's most important right now. The rest of it, we can deal with the rest of it later. The Mandalorian finally turned to consider Boba, her head canted to the side. Boba watched her back, posture stiff. Neither of them said anything. The Mandalorian stared at Boba for a long minute. She looked at Din again. Din's jaw worked. "I would like to know, too," he said, watching Boba out of the corner of his eye. Boba was so still that it had to be intentional. Boba was making himself keep still, was wrestling with some instinct, like a cornered bladeback trying to decide to charge for the kill or bolt for the open sands. That meant something, too, Boba's sudden and awful tension. But Din wasn't sure what it could mean. "Who you are, I mean. I don't know you. You say you're with Vizsla," he continued, almost tripping over Paz's name. "But who are you? Who's your Allure? You're not from my covert." At that, the Mandalorian broke her staring contest with Boba and inclined her head, conceding the point. "I'm Strill," said the Mandalorian. "From... well, we've been a lot of places, same as you, but most recently we're from Megiddo. That's where Vizsla found us after his covert fell." Din winced. Paz has been with them for a while, then. If this Mandalorian was telling the truth, it sounded like he'd gone straight to Megiddo. Paz had been tasked with the care of the children. He would have known where to find one or two other coverts. He must have run for help as soon as the remnants had stormed the covert. "Us?" Boba rumbled. The Mandalorian, Strill, though Din wasn't sure if that was her name or the name of her clan, eyed Boba again. "Us," she said. Her tone was firm. She wouldn't say more. Din understood anyway. Her covert, her tribe. "Is he all right?" Din asked, meaning Paz. He brushed past Strill's unwillingness to name any others. He wouldn't have named any of his tribe either, not to an outsider. "Why are you here and not him?" Strill dropped her gaze for a heartbeat, helmet dipping down towards her chest. The carbon burn scored down the side of it looked fresh. Din's heart sank. "Like I said," said Strill, "he needs your help." They were attacked. That was the only thing that made sense. Strill's weaponlessness, her battered armor, her injury, Paz's absence. They had been attacked, somewhere outside of Mos Entha. Paz is hurt. Din set his jaw, even though Strill couldn't see it. "He has it," he said. "Where is he? What's wrong? What's..." Out of the corner of his eye, Din saw Boba twitch. "How do we know that you're telling the truth?" Fennec cut in smoothly, before Boba could. Din glanced at her, surprised. Fennec usually let Boba do the talking. "Mando here says that he doesn't know you, just that you know his... brother," Din said quietly. That made Boba move, snapping his head around to stare at Din instead of the outsider. Din lifted his chin. He didn't understand this, the tension that had filled the room as soon as Strill had said Paz's name, but Din wasn't going to pretend that Paz meant less to him just because Boba was upset. "Brother," said Fennec in dubious tones. Din scowled underneath his helmet. Fennec turned back to Strill. "How do any of us know that you're telling the truth?" "I came unarmed," said Strill. She cocked her head again like a hunting animal studying a sound or a smell Din couldn't hear or taste. "And I have this." Slowly, so everyone in the room could see her do it, Strill reached into a pouch at her belt and pulled out something too small to be a blaster or a grenade. Boba and Fennec both twitched anyway. Din didn't, but his blaster was still drawn. At some point, it had wavered, the barrel drifting towards the ground, but when Strill moved, he snapped it back to ready position, aimed for a vulnerable gap between her cuirass and her shoulder. "Here," Strill said, unbothered. "Catch, brother." She tossed the small object at Din. He caught it with his free hand and knew what it was as soon as his fingers closed over it. The shape and weight were so familiar, Din could feel the tusks even through the gloves. It was a mythosaur pendant. the exact same size and shape as Din's had been before he'd given it to Grogu. The edges of its tusks dug into Din's hand.
"What is that?" Boba asked.
Din wordlessly opened his fist to show him. He could hear the frown in Boba's voice.
"A kirbas?"
"A sign," Din murmured, his heart clenched. His own pendant had been hung on a simple leather cord, but Paz's had always hung from a thin chain of Beskar. A gift from his father, who'd had more Beskar to spare than anyone else in the covert. The same chain winked and glittered in Din's hand now. Din looked up at Strill.
"You could have just taken this," he said. He desperately hoped that she hadn't.
Paz had worn his pendant underneath his armor, close to his chest. They'd all worn their pendants that way. If Strill had taken it from him. If she took it, she killed him, Din thought. Strill shook her head.
"I didn't," she said. "It was given. He said you'd recognize it, and if you still had doubts, he told me where it was made, too."
"Where was it made?" Din asked. His fingers tightened over it. There were two answers. The chain had been made on Concordia, where Palos Vizsla had lived with his family as a child. It had been made by his father and kept safe during the Purge. Paz had bragged about it to the other kids, flashing it as a tangible connection to an idea of Mandalore that the rest of the Foundlings didn't have. The pendant itself had been made on Bracca when Paz had completed his Foundlings trial and had won his place in the covert, when he and Din and Annika had been made full warriors, adults of the tribe. All three of their pendants had been made at the same time, from the same lump of Beskar. Palos had donated it from his own days as Baroya, proud of all three of them for proving themselves as warriors. "The chain?" Strill asked, confirming that she was who she said she was, that she had come from Paz and was a trusted ally. "Or the pendant?"
"The pendant," Din said.
"It was made on Bracca," Strill said, "when you all lived in an old Lucrehulk hull." Din tossed the pendant back. Strill caught it one-handed and tucked it back safe into her pouch. She looked at Din, who nodded. "She's who she says she is," he told the others. Boba didn't relax, but Fennec did. Fennec shrugged and stopped obviously flanking Strill, patting back towards Boba to give her some breathing room. She paused to help the dazed Theron up off the floor and started to haul him over towards Nora.
"If you're sure," said Fennec.
"Boba?"
Boba blew out another crackly, irritated breath, but he didn't question Din's judgment again.
"What help are you asking for?" he demanded.
Strill was still watching Din.
"Whatever help you can offer," she said.
She paused, then added, "An extraction would be good. We're in a bad way."
"What happened?" Din pushed.
Strill finally gave in.
"We were hunted," she said. We were in Mos Entha for a little while, working, my brother and I. Your Vizsla, he's not much of a hunter. But my brother and I are all right. But Vizsla's being hunted, has been hunted, since Megiddo. We left Mos Entha when we saw enemies starting to sniff around, but got caught before we made it off planet. Vizsla's hurt, my brother, too."
"The kids?"
"One of the kids," Strill said tightly. Even Boba looked up at that. Din could imagine his face underneath his helmet, his eyebrows drawing together in concern. Boba liked the idea of injured foundlings as little as Din did, even though these foundlings were Din's tribe, not Boba's.
"Where are you?"
Strill hesitated.
"Close enough," she hedged. "Off planet, but still in the sector."
Din nodded, already running through the logistics. The fly still had fuel and some supplies on board. Boba kept a stocked infirmary, too. A quick visit would get Din most of what he needed.
"Give me a minute," he said. I'll get some medical supplies. Did you fly here? Where's your ship?"
"The landing pad," said Strill.
She looked at Boba again.
"That Nuxon of yours isn't very good at his job. Your door guards are better." Boba grunted and ignored her.
"Mando," Boba said. "Wait a minute."
"No," Din said, incredulous. "Didn't you hear? People are hurt. They need help. I just need some Bacta. It'll be fine. I'll be back before you know it."
"Yeah," said Boba, tone firm.
You're not going off with her by yourself. I'm coming too. I don't remember inviting you, Strill observed.
Boba snorted and tilted his helmet at Dan. He invited me, he said. He said he's one of mine, and I'm not sending one of mine off with someone he doesn't know, no matter what you've got in your pockets or who you say you run with.
I'll be fine, Din started, trying not to soften in Boba's direction too obviously, warmed by his care, but Boba shook his head once, sharply.
The remnants have a bounty on you, he said, and half the planet's seen you by now. You've said it yourself, people know who you are, they know where to find you.
I'll hold the throne, boss, said Fennec smoothly, cutting Din off before he could argue back. He shot her a dark look, not that she could see it underneath Din's visor. Since when did she decide to play diplomat, he wondered. Something had happened that Din didn't understand. Something with Boba, or to Boba. Din didn't know why Boba had changed once he'd heard Paz's name, but he had. But Paz almost never left the covert, and if he did, he didn't use his name. Boba could never have met Paz before. So what's the problem? But there wasn't time to sort it out. If Strill's people were injured, helping them was the first priority. Everything else could be settled later. And Boba, he's trying to protect me. He was trying to return the loyalty Din had shown in front of Strill. He's one of mine, Boba had said. It was a warming thought, like returning to a campfire after a long night out in the cold of the desert. But Paz doesn't know him. Din's stomach twinged, faint nausea flickering in his belly. His arm hurt. Doesn't matter, he decided. We have to help the others.
Will you vouch for him, Jaren?
Strill asked. Din, startled, he hadn't told Strill his name. But Paz probably did, he realized. Either because he thinks Strill's one of us, really one of us, or to help me trust her. The pendant had done the job well enough, but Din nodded anyway.
I will, he said. You can trust him. He keeps his word.
He hasn't given me his word, Strill said.
You haven't given me any word either, Mandalorian, Boba rumbled.
Enough, Din snapped, reaching the end of his patience with whatever grudge Boba seemed to be holding. He stepped closer to Boba, trying to catch the other's eyes through their visors. I trust you, Din said, looking at him. And maybe I don't trust you, Din added, looking back at Strill. But I trust my brother.
You haven't even asked how many others she has with her, Boba pointed out lowly. You have Ashak and Valerian's intel, but...
It doesn't matter, Din almost said. Strill could have an entire covert 20 warriors strong, injured somewhere, and Din would still be duty-bound to help, just like 20 warriors had been bound to help Din and the kid. Strill snorted.
Hardly an army, she said. There's his brother, me, my brother, plus the foundlings.
You're not scared of foundlings, are you, Boba Fett?
You're not scared of foundlings, are you, Boba Fett?
I said enough, Din cut in sharply, slashing a hand through the air. Strill startled. I'm going to help you. I already said that I will. Don't antagonize us.
Us? Strill asked.
Her tone was light, but the question wasn't. Strill was assessing Din's loyalties. Din straightened his back. The motion jostled his bruises, and the pain was clarifying. A reminder of who Din was now, of who he trusted, where he stood, and why.
I told you, Din said. I'm with him. An insult to him is an insult to me.
Din could feel every eye in the throne room on him. He refused to let it bother him. Din stood as tall and as straight as he ever had walking into the covert or facing down an enemy. He didn't waver. He had meant what he said. Boba moved first. He reached out and bumped his gauntlet against Din's wrist to wrist. Their Beskar saying... Strill was watching keenly. When Din lifted his chin at her, challenging, she held up her hands.
Fine, she said. Narudar, then.
The enemy of my enemy. A temporary ally, with Boba, at least. Din nodded. He could handle that. Wait here, Din instructed. I'll grab some medical supplies. What do you need? Here, Fennec said. Having decided that Strill wasn't a threat, or at least that she was a threat Din and Boba had in hand, Fennec had padded off to join Nora behind the bar, where she had fished out a battered leather bag. Fennec tossed it, and Din caught it, peering inside. A field kit, he realized. Fennec hadn't tossed him a full-service med kit by any means, but the bag was stuffed with rolls of Bacta, a few hyposprays, painkillers, and gauze. Din even saw a sewing kit tucked into a pocket, stocked with thick black thread. Vizsla's leg is broken, Strill said. Some ribs, too, we think. The rest of us are in various stages of bruised and battered, but he's the worst off. We can't move him without help. Like I said, Din closed the field kit and slung it over his shoulder. He gestured at himself and at Boba, who'd kept his silence. You have it. Now, where are we going? You flying? Yeah, said Strill. Now that she'd found the help she needed, she had relaxed some. Her shoulders had slumped, and she'd fallen out of the balanced stance she'd been in. Din hadn't realized how tense she'd been until she relaxed. She was afraid. Din tried to shove down the burr of protectiveness rising in his chest. Strill wasn't a foundling who needed Din's care. She was another warrior, an equal. She wouldn't want Din to try and coddle her. Lead the way, then, said Din. He cast a glance at Boba, checking to make sure that he really was willing to go. Boba was inscrutable, but steady at Din's back. He was coming. Don't worry, boss, Fennec called, still behind the bar with Nora. We won't burn the place down. Jaren, be careful. That made Din smile a little. He appreciated Fennec's concern, and appreciated even more that she didn't seem inclined to try and talk Din out of going with Strill. Boba hummed loud enough that Fennec could hear it, and he and Din set off after Strill. Strill evidently didn't know the palace as well as Din did. She led them up the stairs, where they found another guard slumped over against a wall. Boba bent to check that he was alive, then made an irritated noise under his helmet, and around another winding hall. Din couldn't help but be a little impressed. Strill had made it from the landing pads at the back of the palace, around to the front, where she'd found the steps down into the throne room. Din knew that she couldn't have found much resistance. If she'd fought more than a few guards, someone would have raised the alarm, but still it was impressive, and made even more so by the fact that Strill had come in unarmed. So it's just you and your brother, with Vizsla, Din asked, keeping pace with Strill. Boba seemed to want some distance between himself and Strill, so Din let him have it. No others? It's just me and Jag, yeah, Strill said. Behind them, Boba snorted. What? Boba muttered when Din and Strill both turned around to eye him. You have a brother named Chatwal, too? Din didn't understand the word, but Boba's tone put his back up. Din resisted the urge to put his elbow into Boba's chest, ready to snap at him for continuing to antagonize Strill, but to his surprise, Strill laughed. Got a younger one named Rawl, actually, she said. But he's too young to be out in the stars. He was as upset as anything when he couldn't come, but he's still got a year before his trial. You don't sound much older, Boba returned. How old are you, Verdika? Just newly blooded? That did make Din pause and plant an elbow in Boba's chest, aiming for a soft spot underneath Boba's armor. Boba's breath went out of him in a rush. Verdika was a term for foundlings and raw trainees, not for warriors who'd earned the right to go out into the stars. Boba was trying to upset Strill, and Din couldn't figure out why. Strill hadn't done anything to him, aside from turning her back on Boba when she'd first come into the throne room. Boba doesn't get along with other Mandalorians, Din remembered. Fennec had told him as much, too. But why? I'm old enough, Ijan Orivod, Strill shot back lightly. Boba growled and rubbed the spot where Din had elbowed him. I am not, he said, your brother. Ijan Darvod, then, said Strill, unperturbed. Din blinked. Strill's grasp of Mandoa was better than his. Her covert must be different than mine, he thought. If she'd learned even a little Mandalorian, her covert had to be different. Din and Paz had picked up a few words, but not enough to string a phrase together like Strill had. A phrase that was intelligible, Boba had understood what Strill had said,
But how different?
She'd given up her name without much fuss, too, and the names of her brothers. Din's covert hardly shared names even within its own ranks, let alone with outsiders.
I'm the oldest of the three of us, if that's what you're asking, Stroll continued. Zhaig's still got the shine on his basque.
There aren't any elders with you? Din got in before Boba could open his mouth again and say something scathing about Strill's brother.
Strill shook her head.
No one else could leave the kids back home, she said. There was an odd, strained note in her voice, something almost like grief. We decided to move after Vizsla showed up on Mygeeto. Wasn't safe for our own foundlings. We didn't know who'd followed Vizsla from Nevarro. Tempson gave the order to move, but I didn't feel right letting Vizsla go off on his own, so I decided to tag along.
Zhaig invited himself.
Are you your covert's hunter? Din asked.
Why?
Strill didn't turn around to look at him. You gonna say that I'm too young, too?
You're probably the same age that I was when I started hunting, Din said.
Strill did sound young, Bubba wasn't wrong, but Din had been young, too. 22, 23 standard when he'd won the fight against Paz.
But you're not their only hunter, are you?
Din couldn't imagine that an Allure would let their tribe's only hunter go off on an extended mission, even if they were going to help another covert.
Strill deflated a little at that.
No, she allowed. I'm not. We've got another. My Buir. She stayed with Tamsin to make sure the rest of the Vert gets fed. Zhaig was supposed to stay too, but he wants to be Baroya. Not sure he's got the Mandokar for it, but he's been all right.
Din twitched at the word.
Boba had said that to him before. Mandokar. He'd said it while he and Din had been wrestling up in his rooms, but Din didn't know what it meant, and Boba, usually quick to offer a little Mandoa lesson, was still dangerously silent.
Din suppressed a sigh.
How long have you and your brother been with Vizsla? He asked. The last time I saw him on Nevarro, everything was fine.
His covert was ransacked, Strill said. Din nodded, the tower of helmets imprinted behind his eyelids.
He told us he came to Mygeeto straight from Nevarro about a standard year ago, then maybe a week later the first Imp Patrol showed up. We've been moving around since then. Us and Vizsla and the kids from Yorvert. Tempson would have taken them in, but they didn't want to leave without Vizsla.
Imperial patrols?
Strill nodded.
Yeah, from Nevarro, Vizsla thinks. We've been dodging them ever since. They've got it out for your brother.
Din's heart sank. This is my fault.
It's not him they were after, Din said, mouth dry. It was me.
Gideon must have been hunting for Din. Din had thought him dead, had thought the Imperial threat over. They'd seen Gideon crash on Nevarro. But he was just biding his time, Din thought, looking for us until his dark troopers were ready. He'd probably had Paz hunted on the off chance that Din and Paz had managed to reunite. That seemed like the sort of thing Gideon, methodical and coldly precise, would have done. How many others have I put in danger, Din wondered. He still didn't know who'd made it off Nevarro. He was reasonably sure the Armorer had made it. She'd honored the dead and left. But the others...
Vizsla didn't seem to think it was your fault, Strill said, shrugging. He said they'd all taken a swing at the Empire on Nevarro. And it's been all right up until recently. We've moved a lot, but it hasn't been too much trouble. Those kids of yours... I don't know what your lore teaches you all that ours doesn't, but your foundlings are damn useful. Quick learners, too.
We've always had to move around, Din thought.
Before Nevarro, the covert hadn't stayed on any one planet for longer than a standard year. The foundlings were as used to packing up and moving out as anyone.
How long have you been on Tatooine, then? Din asked. They were close to the landing bays now. Din hoped that they could get there before whatever coiled tension was leaking from Boba finally spilled over.
Is it you that I've been seeing in the desert?
Strill nodded.
Yeah, probably. Zhaig stayed close to Vizsla and the kids. I've taken on a few jobs. I think you saw me in the canyons first, right?
I did, said Din.
That was where he'd first seen her, a glimmer of Beskar that had caught him by surprise while he'd been hunting Shalto. It felt like it had been months ago now, but it had really only been a matter of weeks.
What were you doing there?
Following you, Orivod, said Strill cheerfully.
Me?
Why? Why didn't you come and introduce yourself?
Well, I wasn't sure that I knew who you were, Strill said. I was in Mos Eisley when I saw you land, but I didn't know who you were. Vizsla described you, but he described a warrior who hunted alone and one who didn't have a signet. You're signed, and even back then you were circling this one. She jerked her helmet at Boba, like a tame shriecock.
Din's hand went to the mudhorn stamped across his pauldron. He'd forgotten that Paz had never seen it. Din and Grogu had killed the mudhorn before they'd come back to Navarro, but the Alor hadn't given it to Din as a signet until she had named him and Grogu clan and had charged Din with Grogu's care.
How'd you figure out that I am who you thought I was, then? Din asked. That was weeks ago, and I didn't see you again until...
Vizsla told me you were a friend of the Tuskens, Strill explained. I saw you hunting with that band outside of Mos Entha and figured you must be his brother, but I didn't know for sure until today.
You came in here, Boba interrupted, listening intently. Knowing my name, but not knowing if you had an ally.
Strill shrugged.
We're desperate, she said. And it worked, didn't it? You can't always wait for a green Psylop in your hand. Sometimes you just have to play what you have.
Boba and Din were both silent for a moment.
Dini, Boba finally muttered, which made Din snort, surprised.
What kind of work have you been doing, then? Din asked. Nothing with Valerian's outfit and Mos Entha.
No, Strill said. Couldn't get a toe into her operation. The old hog isn't the only employer there, though. We were bedding down in Mos Entha for a while, a month maybe, or a little more. We made it work. I did courier jobs, mostly. Some cantina owners would pay Jag and Vizsla to stand in the corner and look menacing. Did one protection job out on a moisture farm. The Tuskens may like you, brother, but they didn't care much for me.
The Tuskens aren't just one group, Din said. Some Tuskens like me. Some others.
Well, the ones I dealt with were a bloodthirsty lot, Strill said. She held up an arm to show Din a particularly deep scratch in one of her gauntlets where all of the black paint had been sheared away. Those gaffy sticks they have? Terrifying.
It's never a good idea to tangle with the Tuskens, Boba rumbled. They don't take too kindly to outsiders and settlers, and there's no honor in helping moisture farmers steal Tusken land.
Strill shrugged again. Maybe you can be concerned with what's honorable or not, Boba Fett, she said. She said his full name like she knew it, like she knew Boba, and Din tried not to bristle on Boba's behalf. Boba had done enough bristling for all three of them, not that Strill was helping.
But I've foundlings to feed, Strill continued. My kids can't eat ideas.
That sounded like something Din's Alor would say. Our people can't eat stories.
Din understood the point that Strill was making. It was one thing to try to be honorable, to try and follow through on every contract, or to only take bounties on those who deserved it. But when there were hungry kids down in the covert waiting for something to eat...
We're here, Din said, unnecessarily, shaking off his troubled thoughts. They'd reached the end of the hallway, and the bright, searing light of the desert reached out for them, the landing pad just beyond it. Quit squabbling. Strill, where exactly in the sector are we going?
Arcanus, Strill said, stepping out into the suns. Din followed, squinting as his helmet adjusted to the bright light, and then he stopped.
Strill's ship was a beaten, scuffed VCX-700-class heavy courier, its broad, blunt nose missing a few thermoregulation panels and bristling with ion cannons. She was called the Huntress, her name painted along her nose in peeling orabesh, and she was somehow in even worse shape than the crest had ever been, even when it had been stripped down to its bones on Arvala 7. Next to the Huntress, Din's Kirik Fly and even Boba's ancient Firespray-class ship looked fresh off the assembly lines. Din was frankly amazed that Strill had managed to make it to the palace at all. Boba had similar doubts.
"That thing's capable of hyperspeed?" he asked.
Strill coughed.
"I came over in sublight," she admitted. "Arcanus isn't far."
They couldn't get away, Din thought. In a ship as battered as Strill seemed to be, Paz's little band hadn't even been able to make it to the relative safety of hyperspace. No wonder Strill finally came and found me.
"I'm not getting into that thing," said Boba. "No offense."
Din sighed.
"I will," he said.
He didn't want to start another argument about who was flying what and where. If you're sure, we can make it to Arcanus and back. We could take my ship. Both Mandalorians turned to look at Din. Din scowled to himself. I am not, he said, tone firm, leaving injured warriors and scared foundlings on Arcanus. Arcanus wasn't necessarily more dangerous than Tatooine. It had fewer Tuskens but more cartels, and 10 years ago it had been crawling with imps, too. But it certainly wasn't any safer. At least on Tatooine, Din had friends and allies that he trusted to keep Paz and the others safe while they got over whatever grievous injuries had forced them to go to ground. Where are you going to put them? Boba challenged. His tone very clearly said, not in my palace. Din's scowl deepened. Why is he being so difficult about this? Boba had taken Din in without any sort of trouble. He didn't like other Mandalorians much, Din knew that now, but Din would vouch for Paz. He couldn't really vouch for Strill or her brother, but if Strill was telling the truth, then she was tribe too. They'd keep their word and behave, at least if Din asked them to. Strill came to me for help, Din thought. That meant that she had at least trusted Din to hear her out, to help if he could. She wouldn't have come otherwise. Din would have had to wait for Vamp's network to track her and the others to Arcanus, and that might have taken days. Mos Pelgo, Din said. Vanth would help. And if he didn't want the risk of quartering Mandalorians in his town, Din would go out into the sands and find the White Bantha, or he'd try Ashek. Mos Pelgo? Strill asked, curiously. Din pointed out over the sands. A mining town, out in the Dune Sea, he explained. I have friends there. It's pretty safe. As safe as Boba's guards, Vance Network, and a bunch of Tuskens could make it, anyway. There were smugglers in the canyons, but if Boba wouldn't offer up his palace, and with Gorga the Hutt circling them, that probably wasn't a good idea, even if Boba hadn't refused to shelter the others out of spite. Din couldn't think of a safer place in the sector. If I could get them all back to Navarro, Kara and Karga would look after them, Din thought. Or Kreese might take them in, but I don't want to subject Paz to the light cruiser. Paz wouldn't take it well. Din would have to tell him about Kreese eventually. Would have to tell him several things in a matter of hours, actually. But telling Paz about other Mandalorians, other ways, was different than making Paz live among them, making him depend on them for protection. Strill just shrugged. Can't be any worse than where we've been, she said. You flying with me, brother? If we go in another ship, we're gonna stress Vizsla out. She said it in a tone that indicated that stressing Paz even further would be a bad idea. Din winced. He could imagine that Paz, if he was hurt and cornered, was not particularly happy. Din nodded. Not, brother? Strill asked. Boba stood like a stone, still and tense. But then, to Din's relief, he finally gave a jerky nod and stepped closer to Din, close enough that their wrists brushed. The gesture of support settled Din. One ship draws less attention than two, Boba grunted when Din cocked his head. Especially one ship that looks like this. Next to the Huntress, Boba's ship positively glittered. You trust me not to throw you out of the airlock, then? Strill said, tone light. I'm touched. Boba made a rough, growling sound underneath his helmet. I don't trust you not to vent this one, he jerked a thumb at Din, as soon as you're in the black, but it's harder to vent two than one. Strill looked at Din. Din had no idea what she looked like underneath her armor. She was humanoid, that much was obvious, but she wasn't necessarily human, and even if she was, Din had no frame of reference to guess at what she might look like underneath her helmet. She sounded young, and her accent was out of rim, but those were his only markers. Despite that, Din was pretty sure that Strill was looking at him with her eyebrows raised, an expression of disbelief splashed across her face. He means well, Din wanted to say. He's just trying to protect me, even if he's being a carking ass about it. He resisted the urge to elbow Boba again. The first time hadn't slowed Boba down any after all. Good, said Strill, deciding that pushing back against Boba was a losing fight. Climb aboard, then. It's about 4 hours by sublight.
4 hours, Din thought, trying not to let anxiety claw its way up his ribs.
4 hours. If Paz was as badly hurt as Din feared, 4 hours could be a long time. And 4 hours was quite a stretch to be packed into an unfamiliar ship with an unfamiliar warrior. Din wasn't sure that Boba could hold back his scathing remarks for that long.
I'll make him, Din told himself, grimly determined.
Whatever Boba's problem was with Strill and Paz and the others, Din would keep it under control, at least until they were all safe. Strill climbed up into the Huntress's dark underbelly. Din shot Boba a challenging look and followed her. There was a pause behind him, and then he heard Boba's boots climbing up the ramp, each step slow and deliberate. Relief flickered behind Din's ribs. Din did feel better with Boba at his back. The only thing that Din had in common with Strill was Paz. Her covert, even though it had been a covert, had been different. She was young, she had siblings and a buir, and all Din had was his armor and Grogu. But Boba was at his back. It wasn't that Din thought that Strill was actively dangerous. She was hurt, and she clearly needed help. But with Boba here, Strill would have a fight on her hands if she was lying to Din or trying to clink in on whatever bounty their remnants had put out on Din's head. She might have been able to take one of us if she surprised us, Din thought, but she can't take us both. Safety in numbers had been the reality down in the covert. Din had gotten used to going without it in the black, but it was good to have Boba with him. It felt right. Like that campfire in the desert, warm and safe. Like Clan. Maybe if I told him that, he'd settle down, Din thought wryly. Boba had appreciated Din's show of loyalty in the throne room. Loyalty was a currency that Boba respected and understood. Din decided to wait until they got out of the atmosphere to pull Boba aside and talk to him. Strill took the pilot seat and didn't seem to need a co-pilot, her gloved fingers flying over the controls. The ramp and plug door closed behind them as soon as Boba crossed into the Huntress's bay, sealing them inside, and the ship began to rattle as Strill coaxed it awake. The interior of the ship was in better shape than the exterior, but not by much. Din left Strill to the business of getting them off the ground and gingerly took a seat in what looked like a converted cargo bay. There were boxes and crates everywhere. A rack of weapons, rifles and blasters, and even a traditional cod had been bolted to the wall opposite Din. Doors branched off the main bay into smaller holds and sleeping quarters. Din leaned back, resting his head against the wall. The Huntress vibrated, resonating through his Beskar and making his teeth ache, a metallic taste filling his mouth. Din had hoped that Boba would follow his lead, take a seat and leave Strill alone, but Boba didn't. He stayed upright, pacing the length of the cargo bay, sticking his head down narrow halls and into doorways. Din let him. He'd done the same in new places before. He'd even wandered through the halls of Boba's palace when he'd first started taking jobs from Boba. It was good to know where the best cover was or where to go to make a quick escape. Finally, Boba ran out of suspicions to poke and settled, though he didn't sit. He leaned against the wall opposite Din, silent, and waited for takeoff. Strill didn't make them wait for long. With a great creaking groan, the Huntress wobbled into the air, pitching a little to one side and nearly dumping Boba on his face before evening out and beginning a more or less smooth climb into Atmo. Boba, now gripping the nearest grate to avoid toppling over, huffed to himself and sat down. The Huntress rattled and moaned a few more times as she made her way off-planet and into the stars, but she didn't burst into flames or start plunging back towards the sands, and soon Tatooine was just a ball of reddish dust growing smaller and smaller in the hold's tiny viewport, the stars expanding around them. Din waited until they'd stabilized in sublight before pointedly clearing his throat. He glanced towards the pilot's cabin. The door was shut. That didn't mean that Strill wouldn't be able to hear them at all, but it was as much privacy as they'd get until Din had stashed Paz and the others somewhere safe.
What, Din said, once he had Boba's stubborn, prickly attention, is your problem?
You'll have to clarify, Boba growled back. I've got several.
"What's your problem with my brother?" Din asked, settling on his most immediate concern. He'd talked about his tribe with Boba before. He'd even talked about Paz a little. He didn't understand why Boba seemed to have an issue with Paz now.
"Your brother," Boba echoed. "Vizsla."
Din cocked his head. "Yeah?" he said, confusion deepening.
"You didn't mention that bit."
"What bit?"
"His name," Boba snarled, with so much venom in his voice that Din pulled back until his shoulders were flush against the Huntress's hull.
"His name? It's not important," Din said. It's just his name. We rarely use our names outside of the covert."
"I know the name Vizsla," Boba said, flatly.
He stared at Din across the cargo bay. Even through the visor of his helmet, his gaze was piercing. Din wanted to shy away from it, but had nowhere to go.
"Clan Vizsla, House Vizsla. That's an old Mandalorian name. Anybody from Mandalore, from Concordia or Conquered Dawn, knows that name."
Din's skin prickled. "I don't know any House Vizsla," Din said carefully. He'd crossed into dangerous territory and couldn't figure out how. "My tribe were not from Concordia or Conquered Dawn or any of those places. Well, none of us who are still alive are. Some of the elders, well, it doesn't matter. We didn't have any houses."
Kryze had introduced herself that way. Bo-Katan of Clan Kryze, House Kryze.
And Woves and Reeves had done the same too. Their clan names were Woves and Reeves, but they tacked on House Kryze after.
Din shook his head, chasing thoughts of Bo-Katan and her Talvode away.
"Didn't really have any clans either," Din commented. "We were just one tribe, one covert. Some of us had different names, but it didn't matter who anyone was."
What had mattered was that Paz, Din, Annika, their Alor, any and every foundling, warrior, and elder were tribe. That they'd all followed the creed and looked after each other as best they could. That was what had brought a warrior honor. Actions and adherence to the way, not the names they'd carried with them off of Mandalore, or the ones they'd brought from outside of the covert.
Din had thought that Boba was the same way. That Boba didn't care who Din was, what his name or his clan were, but maybe Din had miscalculated.
"Fett is a Mandalorian name too," Din rationalized. "Not an old one if Boba's father had been a foundling, but still, it had been important enough to Jango Fett to pass on to his son."
Din licked his lips and tried to make Boba understand. He wanted to take his helmet off so Boba could see his eyes, but he didn't know if Strill would understand if she came into the bay and saw Din with his face bare. Din needed to make sure Paz was all right before he let the others shun him, before he let them know he was Darmanda.
"I don't know who you've met before," Din said, "but our Vizsla's, my brother, he is not your enemy.
A man named Vizsla murdered my father's father, twice," Boba said, quiet as an anaconda coiling to strike. "A man named Vizsla destroyed my father's life, killed his friends, sold him off to die in slavery. And when that Vizsla was finally defeated and killed, another Vizsla took his place and sold his own people to a carking Sith Lord thinking he'd win over everyone in the end. You know how that ended?"
"Not well, probably," Din muttered. Tension was beginning to twitch and tighten in his jaw.
He flexed his fingers and tried to convince his body that it wasn't about to fight. They couldn't afford to fight here. A good spar might help Boba bleed off some of his awful tension, but there wasn't room, and they both needed to be fighting fit if they ran into trouble. Din pressed his back up against the Huntress's hull. The ship rattled his bruises, woke all of his nerves with cold fire. Boba didn't seem to hear what Din had said. He turned his face away again, and Din couldn't tell what he was thinking or feeling, what he looked like underneath his helmet, how tightly his jaw was set, or how fierce his frown was. It was such a startling change from just a day ago, when Din had been able to read Boba through his armor like Boba hadn't been wearing any at all, that Din wanted to take Boba by his shoulders and shake him, to make him understand that nothing had changed. The easy feeling that had grown between Din and Boba was gone. Din wasn't sure that he liked what was left.
"And you're going to sit there and tell me that you claim Vizsla as your brother?" Boba continued, his voice a low growl.
Din did bristle at that.
"I do," he snapped. "Paz and I were brothers before he was adopted, and even if we hadn't been, he's always looked out for me. Always."
"He's a Vizsla," Boba snarled. "They don't know how to look out for anyone but themselves."
"You don't know him," Din said coldly. Slow fury spread like ice in his veins.
Paz was, well, he was obnoxious sometimes. He was hard and unyielding. He was nosy. He took the creed so seriously that he made it his job to enforce it, to hunt for weaknesses in the covert like Din hunted out in the stars. Paz was still jealous 15 years after Din had won the right to hunt for the tribe that Din had beaten him. But Paz was still Din's tribe. Paz had always been there for Din, even when he'd been angry, even when he and Din had been fighting, had disagreed with each other. When 15 years had passed and they'd found themselves grown warriors, different men, and not the boys they'd once been together. Paz had helped Din learn how to fight, had protected him when the covert had been attacked, had put a hand on Din's back when Din had killed his first sentient trying to protect himself in the covert. He'd helped Din paint his first set of armor, and had taught Din how to make Ujalai. He had come to Din's rescue on Navarro when Din had hacked off more than he could wrestle with in the imps, and had saved Grogu's life, too.
"He is my brother," Din said, as firmly as he could manage.
"He's Alit Clan." Boba finally looked at Din. His visor was expressionless.
"Your clan's a pack of murderers, then," he said.
"Paz hasn't murdered anyone," Din shot back. He didn't deny the charge for the rest of them. He couldn't. They had killed Din and his tribe. Din was pretty sure that they hadn't murdered anyone, at least not according to the creed, but Din hadn't been with the covert properly in years.
"You're a murderer too," Din didn't say. A man like Boba Fett didn't get the reputation that he had by handing out back to patches and Ujcake, but pointing that out wouldn't help. Din tried to order his thoughts to address the problem at hand.
We were adopted during the Clone Wars, Din said. I don't know where he was found. He was found before me, but he and I, we were the same. Foundlings.
He can't have killed your father's father. He's my age.
What about his father, then? Boba challenged. Din couldn't see his expression, but could hear the sneer in his voice.
The Vizslas ran Kirtzad, in my father's time and after.
Din's heart sank. He didn't know that word, but the tone. He knew Boba's tone. I need to understand.
Boba, said Din seriously, what does Kirtzad mean?
That managed to stop Boba in his tracks. Boba pulled his head up and stared for a moment, silent. Then he said,
You know what it means. You've traveled with Bo-Katan Kryze.
I've already told you. My tribe, we didn't learn Mandalorian. Mandoa. We learned bits and pieces, the odd word or insult, but that's it. I don't know what Kirtzad means. Is it another word for assassin?
No, said Boba, slowly. It means Death Watch.
Vertigo roared in Din's ears. He was here on the ship with Boba, looking at him through the blue tint of his visor. And he was on Trask, staring at Bo-Katan and her Talvode, the taste of seawater still thick in his mouth.
"You're a child of the Watch," she'd said.
Din reached out and gripped the nearest crate to steady himself.
"Death Watch," he said, mouth numb. "What is that?"
Kryze hadn't said anything about a death watch. She'd called Din a child of the watch, but hadn't elaborated, and she hadn't identified herself beyond her name and the fact that she was Mandalorian. And I didn't think to ask,
Din thought, dazed. He'd been so outraged to see Kreese take her helmet off. Disappointed. He'd thought that she was like him, a Mandalorian. When she'd taken her helmet off, Din had wanted to get away from her as fast as possible, to get Grogu away from her. He hadn't even thought to ask Kreese what a child of the Watch was.
There is only one way of the Mandalore.
He had been Mandalorian on Trask, fully armed and righteous with the creed. And Kreese had been a pretender. Din had thought her a pretender, a false Mandalorian. Someone who'd put on the Beskar when it was convenient, but would take off the helmet to hide or disappear into a crowd. Din had dismissed her words, what she'd called him and his people. Zealots, she'd said, following an ancient way, and had gone on with his life. But I'm not Mandalorian anymore. Din should have asked her what she'd meant. He should have checked. And Boba had called Kreese Kirtzad before. Boba was still watching Din, holding himself very, very still. He had deflated a little, disarmed by Din's question.
You really don't know, he finally said. Do you?
Din shook his head. We didn't. There's a lot that I don't know, Din said. He tried to keep the bitterness out of his voice and couldn't quite manage it. He was angry. He was. These were things that his Allure should have taught him. Din should have known. He'd been the one sent out into the galaxy, after all. She should have told him that there were other Mandalorians, that their ways and creeds were different, that some Mandalorians would help each other and others would go out of their way to shed Mandalorian blood.
Why weren't we told?
Why wasn't I told, at least? I've been out in the galaxy for years. That was my job. If I'd known that there were other Mandalorians out there, I would have...
Boba let out a breath, and Din wrenched himself out of his thoughts with some effort. He kept gripping the crate, holding on so tight that his injured arm protested. The rushing noise in Din's ears hadn't faded.
Death Watch, said Boba, lowly, fiercely, was a pack of Darmisha animals, murderers and thieves. They, in my father's day, when he was young, the Death Watch was a band of warriors. They followed Tor Vizsla, who thought himself Mandalore the Great, come again. Jaster, my father's father, was his enemy. All true Mandalorians were.
Wait, Din thought, listening closer. Boba hadn't said true Mandalorians. He'd said true Mandalorians. He doesn't mean an idea, like all true Mandalorians follow Jaster's way, Din realized. He means true Mandalorians, like a faction, a clan. Din tried to order that in his head. There was Death Watch, apparently, and then there were the true Mandalorians. Din had known that, sort of. Boba had told him about the true Mandalorians when he'd told Din of the Super Commando Codex, the creed his father had once followed, the creed that Boba was more or less following now. So the true Mandalorians and the Kirtzad, the Death Watch, were enemies. And someone named Vizsla had led the Death Watch.
Murderers and thieves, Din said slowly. He was trying to understand.
Why? What made them murderers and thieves? Did they have a creed?
Boba snorted. If they did, it wasn't much of one. They thought they had the right to do what they wanted, to kill who they could, steal whatever they saw and liked. They didn't have any honor. They wouldn't hold to their side of a deal, and they turned on their allies whenever it suited them.
Din shivered. He couldn't help it. He couldn't imagine being lawless, not following any sort of creed at all. Din didn't have to follow the creed anymore. Couldn't, not really. But he still kept to the things he'd been taught as best he could.
They said that they were the only Mandalorians, said Boba, darkly. Because they were strong and everyone else was weak.
There is only one way of the Mandalore.
Something cold and horrifying writhed in Din's stomach. Death Watch,
extremists, murderers. Is that what we were? What I was?
Paz isn't like that, Din said. Neither was his father. I'm not like that.
Boba froze.
Din swallowed.
I'm not, he repeated. I'm not.
You're Death Watch, Boba said. It wasn't a question, and all of the color and life had bled out of his tone.
I don't know what I am, Din admitted.
We didn't.
There wasn't a name we ever used for ourselves down in the covert. We were just us, the tribe, Mandalorians. The only Mandalorians left in the galaxy.
Din forced himself to keep talking. It wasn't fast, like ripping a back-to-patch off a mostly healed wound, but it was important. Boba deserved to know.
Kreese said, she said that I was a child of the Watch. I don't know if she meant Death Watch or if there were other watches, other groups, but
Din had all of the pieces in his hands now, or at least enough of them to start fitting them together. He wasn't sure he liked the shape that was emerging.
A cult. Bo-Katan had called Din and his people that. Din had brushed it off at the time, or at least the implied rebuke that had come with Kreese's words. The tribe was the tribe. It wasn't. No one had forced Din to be there. He'd chosen it himself every day, just like all of the warriors did. If he'd wanted to leave, he could have. It would have cost him everything he'd ever known, but he could have done it.
But if we're not a cult, he thought, why didn't our elders tell us about the others?
Din kept coming back to that. Growing up, Din's teachers had told him, had told all of the foundlings, that Mandalore was lost, cursed. But it wasn't lost until a few years ago, not entirely. The Empire had only glassed the planet a decade ago. They'd controlled the planet for longer than that, had been gathering Beskar and picking warriors off for years before that, but the planet itself had been there, whole, for most of Din's life. There were people who lived there. Mandalorians. Maybe not Mandalorians who wore armor and fought and hunted, but they were born there. They lived there. And we didn't know about them. And now, confronted with Boba's raw anger, Din couldn't help but wonder why he hadn't been taught about the others. Why none of his teachers and trainers, why his Alor had never told them about other Mandalorians. We only knew about the other coverts, and they all followed the same creed. Had Din's teachers been afraid that the foundlings would choose other creeds to follow? Had they been trying to protect the kids, to shield them from the wars raging on Mandalore, from the Empire's slow, inexorable campaign to crush anyone who could fight but wouldn't do it in the Empire's name? Whatever we are, we're not murderers, Din said, rallying some. That had been true. We have our honor. There's no honor in murder. In defeating an enemy, yes, in killing an enemy, if you have to. If killing an enemy protected the covert, it was honorable, just. But to go out and kill without reason, to murder, that wasn't honorable. That was the way of the Wurrek. And Din had been taught, had been trained, to be better than that.
Your Death Watch, Boba repeated, in that same flat, lifeless voice.
Din closed his eyes.
Yes. He said, I think I am, or was.
Was, said Boba.
I can't tell him, not yet. Paz deserves to know first.
Din opened his eyes again and drew back, pain lancing his chest. Boba's head was in his hands, his shoulders were bowed. He looked defeated, almost. As if Din had shot him in the gut and left him to die in the desert.
The feeling of finding a sheltering fire was gone. In its place, Din was left with a chill that spread and grew, aching in his chest and his hands. Din started. He didn't know what he was going to say.
Sorry?
Not the Death Watch that killed your father? Not even a Mandalorian anymore.
Din, said Boba, and the use of Din's name stopped Din cold. I need you to leave me alone for a minute. I can't. If I keep looking at you, I...
You won't hurt me, Din said, disbelieving. Boba didn't look up.
I might, he said. His tone was dark. His hands, planted on either side of his helmet, were curled into fists.
Chill bumps walked down Din's back. For the first time in weeks, he was afraid of Boba, of what Boba could do, of what I'd let him do. Din didn't want to fight Boba. A spar or a wrestling game was one thing, but a fight... Din wasn't sure he could fight Boba, not seriously. Din's instinct toward self-preservation was strong enough, but this was Boba. Din... I like him, Din thought. I trust him. I... Other deeper feelings churned beneath the surface of Din's thoughts. He didn't have a name for any of it. But all of it was braided together, trust and respect and something fiercer, something true. And even deeper than that, lodged somewhere deep in the base of Din's spine, was something that cringed, weak and afraid. Boba was angry, and it was Din's fault. Din wanted to fix it. I don't know how to fix it. Din carefully stood up.
Oh, yeah, Din said. Mouth dry. His heart twisted. He hated this. Yeah, I'll give you some time. I'm sorry.
Boba didn't say anything. Din left him like that, head in his hands, and made for the pilot's cockpit. He rapped on the door and it slid open almost immediately. Din slipped inside and let the door shut, closing him off. Din's heart hammered. A knot of something hot and heavy was pressing against his throat, chewing underneath his collarbones. Strill, still at the controls, canted her head. The vastness of space stretched out beyond the Huntress's blunt nose. One of Tatooine's moons was visible just around the edge of the ship. "Got room for a co-pilot?" Din asked, collapsing into the co-pilot seat without waiting for Strill to reply. To her credit, she only shrugged. "Sure," she said. "It's a boring flight, though." Din looked at her.
Star, she is young.
Boring's good, he said. Boring's safe. Fair enough, Strill acknowledged. We could use some boring, I guess. Been an eventful year? Din didn't want to think about Boba anymore. He didn't want to think about Kreese either, or about his covert, about all these things that didn't make sense. Strill took the bait. Yeah, she said. You could say that. Din settled deeper into his chair. Guilt and grief and confusion were physical pains in his stomach, his chest, behind his eyes. Tell me about it, Din said. Strill adjusted her controls, keeping the Huntress level, and did. She and the others had had an eventful year. Strill filled him in on most of the things Din had missed. Paz's desperate flight from Navarro, 3 foundlings packed into the only transport he'd been able to secure before the Imperials had shut Navarro City down and made escape virtually impossible. The brief week Paz had spent on Magito with Strill's covert, the Imperial patrols that had started to comb the planet. Strill talked like she'd been given permission to go off with Paz, but Din had the sneaking suspicion that she and her brother had crept off without their mother's permission, or their allures, for that matter. And banded up with Paz to get a taste of adventure. They'd been all over the galaxy. While Din had been hunting for his covert in the outskirts of the Outer Rim, Paz had been bouncing from mid-rim world to mid-rim world. A peaceful week on Naboo, teaching the foundlings how to swim, a longer stretch on Malastare, where he'd apparently wrestled a Dug and Strill had gotten her first taste of bounty hunting. Time on Waska, dodging Trandoshans, and even some time on Kashyyyk.
We only came back to Rimspace a few months ago, Strill explained. Her story had taken the edges off Din's grief and guilt. He hoped that the space was doing the same thing for Boba.
Why? The Midrim's a good place to hide.
Beings in the Outer Rim were naturally suspicious of strangers, which made establishing a covert or even finding a safe spot to bed down for a few weeks tricky. Middies were more trusting. Strill made a disgruntled sound.
More and more patrols kept showing up, she said.
Imperial patrols in the Midrim? The New Republic was pretty well established in the Middies. Din hadn't heard of an Imperial patrol venturing that deep into New Republic space for years.
They really wanted Paz, said Strill. She'd switched to Paz's first name now that she had Din to herself, which had surprised him.
Paz must have liked Strill, must have trusted her to have shared his full name. He kept killing them, which probably didn't help.
They wanted me, Din sighed.
Did he tell you why the covert fell, he said. Strill shrugged.
He said a bit about it, yeah.
It was my fault. Din pressed his helmet against his face, the bridge of his visor digging into the old scar across the top of his nose. I took a job for a group of remnants on Navarro, then went back on the contract. The covert came out of hiding to save me. If they'd stayed underground...
Paz thinks the imps knew where you all were anyway, Strill said. And besides, sometimes Kung like that happens. I know he's been worried about you. He'll be glad to see you're alive.
He'll be angry with me, Din muttered, more to himself than Strill. Paz would be angry with him. Din didn't see how he could avoid it. Paz would be angry that Din had allied himself with other Mandalorians, different Mandalorians. He'd be angry to learn that Din had broken the creed.
Strill made a considering noise.
He might be, she allowed. It's been a hard year for all of us. But he can be angry with you and be glad that you're alive.
Din paused.
Oh, he finally said. He hadn't thought of it like that.
Strill laughed.
Oh, she repeated. Her tone was light and teasing. Her easy kinship was a little baffling, honestly, but it wasn't bad, and Din found himself leaning into it. It was nice. Din had started to feel comfortable around Boba in the palace, had started to fit himself carefully into a new place in the galaxy, but Strill's easy acceptance was good, too. Homey, almost. Well-worn, like sitting down beside another warrior at a meal in the covert.
Tell me about your covert, Din found himself saying.
He didn't want to think about Paz and puncture the fragile little bubble of kinship that had formed in his chest. He didn't want to think about Boba, either, and how Din had probably ruined all of that, too.
Tell me about your brothers.
Strill tilted her head a little, then nodded.
Sure, she said. We've got a few more hours in transit, anyway.
The stories she told about her covert were familiar. Training and hiding and sparring and learning, her tribe all banded together. There was grief threaded through her story, too. Din learned that a few months before Paz had arrived on their doorstep with his kids in tow, a sickness had gone through Strill's covert and taken several warriors off with it.
They don't sound like a pack of honorless murderers, Din thought, listening. They sound like people, like Mandalorians.
Strill's covert had its hunter, it had its Allor who tended its forge. It had its elders, though those were few, and its foundlings, and its young warriors like Strill, who were eager to make a name for themselves.
This can't be Death Watch, Din thought. We can't be Death Watch. We're not trying to hurt anyone, we're just trying to live.
Maybe they had been Death Watch once. Din would have to find someone to ask. Not Boba. And not Kreese, either. Shag and Strill's Allor, if Din could ever find them. But if they had been, Din didn't think they could be anymore. They'd just been trying to survive on Navarro, Megiddo, Kashyyyk, and Dantooine, and Onderon.
That has to mean something.
If Din could figure out what it meant, he could tell Boba and patch over whatever had gone wrong between them. Din chewed on that thought while Strill, finally out of stories and approaching Arcanus, which was a growing lump of gray and blue in the viewport. Making our approach, Strill said, fiddling with the Huntress's controls.
You might want to make sure that your friend is strapped in, or if all descents can be, rough. Din grimaced. Noted, he said. He heaved himself up and left the cockpit, trying to ignore the nerves in his stomach. Boba had had a few hours. He hadn't told Din to stay away for good, he'd just asked for some time to himself. Time to think. Boba was where Din had left him, though he didn't look quite so defeated this time. He'd come out of the slumped-over, strings-cut posture he'd been in when Din had brought up the Children of the Watch, and was now leaning back against the Huntress's hull, arms folded across his chest. He was still wearing his helmet, and he wasn't sleeping. He turned his head when the cockpit door opened and Din stepped out, though he didn't say anything. Din cleared his throat a little. Guilt gnawed at his stomach. Strill says she says to buckle up, Din said, stumbling over the words a little. He didn't know how to fix this. Boba didn't move. Din stood there, unsure of his welcome, and resisted the urge to fidget under Boba's scrutiny. Finally, Boba said, "You're not a liar, are you?" Din blinked, thrown. "I try not to be," he hedged. "Sometimes I have to lie, but when I can avoid it, I do." "And you promised me honesty once," Boba muttered. His voice was so quiet that Din half assumed that Boba was talking to himself. "Yes," Din said, "I did." He'd promised Boba honesty on his knees. There had been conditions. Boba had only asked for honesty in his rooms during the arrangement that they'd had. But Din had still tried to be honest with him, even outside of that. Din swallowed. He checked behind him. The cockpit door was sealed. Strill couldn't see him, couldn't hear him. And Din, "I want to fix this," he thought. "As much as I can, I want to fix this." He wanted to help Paz, that was true. He had to help Paz. But Din didn't want to lose Boba's friendship to do it, either. He didn't want to lose his place at Boba's side. "I don't know how to say that." Din had never been very good with words. He was a Mandalorian. Words didn't matter. Actions do. Slowly, deliberately, Din sank to his knees. This wasn't the place for it. He knew that it wasn't. Din and Boba had agreed to keep their arrangement private, had set that boundary between work and pleasure. But the boundaries were already blurred. This rescue mission, wasn't work. Din wasn't sure what it was. Everything had gotten so confused, so complicated. But this, at least, was simple. Din knelt on the rattling floor of Strill's ship. He'd gotten out of the practice of kneeling in full armor, his greaves dug into the bottoms of his knees. Boba was staring at him, utterly silent, so Din gripped the edges of his thigh plates hard enough that his fingers creaked. "I am sorry," Din said, voice rough, that some of my people might have hurt yours. But I didn't know." "Get up, Din," Boba said. Din looked up at him, stubborn. He couldn't make Boba forgive him, but he could do this. He could give Boba the truth. "I didn't know," he repeated. "And I'm not Death Watch. I'm not. I am not your enemy." "I believe you, you stubborn idiot. Now get up," Boba said, crossing the distance between them and taking Din by the elbows. Despite his tone, Boba was gentle as he hauled Din up to his feet. "You don't have to kneel," Boba said. His voice was rough, too, even through the vocoder. I believe you. You don't have to apologize." "If I hurt you..." "You didn't karking hurt me," Boba said gruffly. He still hadn't let go of Din's elbow. And Din was relieved. "Or you didn't mean to. It's just..." "The Death Watch was your enemy," Din said. Boba snorted. "No," he said, "they weren't. They didn't even know that I existed, or if they did, it doesn't matter. They didn't care about me. They stayed out of my way, and I stayed out of theirs." "Then why?" Din started, confused again, but Boba shook his head. "It's complicated," said Boba. "It's
Not your fault, but it's complicated, and it caught me by surprise. After all of this, we need to talk.
Din thought about the other truth that was hiding underneath his tongue, the truth that Din wasn't a Mandalorian at all, and had been letting Boba assume that Din was one for weeks now.
We do, Din agreed, even as his stomach twisted at the thought.
Pause first, and then I'll tell Boba.
Boba sighed. He still had Din by the elbow. They were close enough together that their breath would be mingling if they'd been out of their armor, and Din found that he missed the closeness, the heat of Boba's body. This has gotten complicated, he thought ruefully. But Din didn't regret it either, and he was relieved that Boba didn't regret it, that Boba wasn't pushing Din away, despite the revelation that if Mandalore hadn't fallen to pieces years ago, Din and Boba might have been enemies. Boba made a rough noise, half a breath, and tugged Din closer, close enough that he could press his forehead to Din's, though Din had to stoop a little to meet him. This, helmets pressed together, Beskar resonating softly, the edges of his visor creasing into his forehead, was affection Din knew what to do with. He didn't mean to sag into it to lean his weight against Boba's, but he did it anyway. Boba met and bore it. His hand was tight around Din's elbow.
We're gonna argue about it, probably, Boba said. His voice was soft. I have a temper, you know I do.
I'm not very patient, either, Din admitted, wry.
Boba snorted.
No, he said. I'm not sure I've ever been told to be quiet in my own throne room before.
Sorry, Din said.
Boba shrugged, the emotion carrying through his whole body and pushing gently against Din.
Don't be, he said. I don't want to be Jabba the Hutt. I don't want any of my people to be scared to tell me that I'm being a bad-tempered Chakar.
It sounds like I surprised you.
It sounds like I surprised you, Din said.
Boba snorted.
Your Vodika did, anyway. She's not a Vizsla, is she?
I don't think so, Din said. We really didn't keep track of names and clans. She's from a different tribe. Like us, but also different. She hasn't given me a clan name.
And you said you had just the one Vizsla.
Pause, Din confirmed. His father died a while back, took an injury on a hunt.
And his father was?
Pallas, said Din. You know him? Boba let out a breath.
No, he said. I didn't.
A nod in Din's chest loosened. His tribe hadn't been Boba's enemy then, at least not directly.
We can argue about it, Din said softly.
Later. After we get the other somewhere safe.
After, Boba agreed.
He finally pulled away, breaking the connection between them, and let Din go.
We should be making planetfall soon, yeah?
Yeah, said Din. I came back out here to tell you to... Din didn't get to finish because the Huntress bucked like a stung Ronto, metal hull shrieking as she began her descent into Arcanus's atmosphere, and Din was thrown so hard he pitched sideways into a crate. He was only able to stay upright by clinging to the crate's edge and scrambling to regain his balance. Boba wasn't so fortunate. Boba went down like a stone, armor clattering. Boba swore violently and scrambled for his feet again, skidding across the cargo bay as the Huntress continued to buck and shudder her way through Atmo. A particularly hard jump sent Din's bag of medical supplies sliding across the floor. Din nearly fell over again trying to rescue them. The Huntress stabilized after another handful of nausea-inducing seconds, leveling out in what Din hoped was the bottom layer of Arcanus's atmosphere. Boba climbed back to his feet, still swearing. Rolls of Bacta had gone everywhere. Din cleared his throat and let go of the crate he'd been using for balance.
"I came back here to tell you," he finished. "That you should strap in. Strill said it'd be a rough descent."
Boba replied with a scathing string of Mandoa.
"I'm flying next time," he growled. "This pile of rust is going to come apart at the bolts."
"Strill made it to Tatooine, all right," Din pointed out, gathering up the medical supplies that had spilled everywhere. "We should be fine." Boba kept up his muttered stream of abuse, directed at the Huntress, the Huntress's engineers, Strill's piloting skills, and the planet of Arcanus itself, while the ship slid lower and lower in the air.
From the viewport, Din saw gray skies and trees and sheeting rain, the rough shapes of a settlement, buildings and landing bays and other ships, artificial light flickering through the rain, shifting in the gloom. He stuffed the escape bacta back into the field kit and slung it back over his shoulder. "Grab onto something," Din advised. "We're about to land." Boba did what he was told without argument. The Huntress touched down with a mighty thump and rattle, the floor swaying underneath Din's feet. Strill released the seal on the plug door, letting the ramp extend out and Din's first look at Arcanus wash in. He was not impressed. What little of Arcanus Din could see through the driving rain was mostly duracrete and metal. Strill had picked a public landing bay, though public was a loose term, the bay was entirely deserted. A few buildings were visible through the rain. Water sheeted off the sides of Strill's ship and reduced the world beyond it to a swirl of gray. Condensation beaded up on Din's Beskar. "Does it always rain like this?" Din asked, balking. "Unfortunately," said Strill. "Come on, you'll get wet through your kuta, but there's nothing for it. Tunnel entrance isn't far, anyway." She waded into the rainstorm, her dark armor almost disappearing. Din sighed and followed her. Strill was right. Within seconds, the rain had drenched Din through his kuta, sloshed around his boots. Din switched over to thermal imaging to help track Strill through the storm. Behind him, he heard Boba swear as he stepped into a particularly deep puddle. "Here, follow me," Din said, matching his path to Strill so they were all moving in a single line, like a Tusken war party. "Strill knows where she's going." "I can handle a little rain," Boba grumbled. "I grew up on a planet like this. It rained all of the time. I could count on one hand the number of times I'd seen a clear sky." Din almost kept his mouth shut, wanting to preserve the quiet admission, but curiosity got the better of him. "Where are you from?" he asked. "A place called Kamino," Boba said. Din frowned a little, sorting through his memories, but he wasn't sure he'd ever heard of Kamino before. "No," he thought, "that's not right. Boba's mentioned it before." But outside of talking to Boba, Din had never heard of a planet called Kamino. "I don't know where that is," he said. "No, you wouldn't," said Boba. "It was a little place, out of the way."
"Was?"
"The Empire destroyed it," Boba said. "It was one of the first planets they glassed back when they took over."
"Oh," said Din. "I'm sorry."
Din heard Boba shrug, Beskar plates clinking. "Don't be. I said I grew up there, not that I liked growing up there. It was just a place."
"Oh," said Din again. He supposed that he understood that.
He didn't really miss the planet he'd come from, he barely remembered it, and most of what he did remember was the last day the Separatist attack. Boba picked up his pace a little, drawing up until he was side by side with Din, despite the puddles, and roughly knocked his elbow against Din's. It wasn't as intimate as their wrists pressed together, but the motion warmed Din's chest anyway. "Maybe he will forgive me," Din thought, brightening some. "It's fine," Boba said. "It was all a long time ago." Din could understand that, too. He wanted to ask more questions, but ahead of them, Strill turned a corner and came up to a nondescript, dingy old building. It looked like an old ordnance depot. A faded, spiky Imperial sign was painted on one wall. Rain had washed almost everything else away, and mud lay thick around the building's doorway, which yawned black and dim in front of them. If it had ever had a door, it had lost it a long time ago. Parts of the wall had crumbled away, and parts of the roof had caved in. "Through here," Strill called, "and watch the tripwire. Jaig's gonna be tense enough as it is without one of us tripping the alarm." Din scanned the doorway quickly and found the wire, a simple circuit like the one he'd seen on Mos Entha. He pointed it out to Boba, who obediently ducked. Like the old cantina on Mos Entha, this building had a lower floor, which Strill escorted them to, and the lower floor had an opening into a long, dark tunnel. Strill hopped in without bothering to wait for Din or Boba. Din made to follow, but Boba balked.
"Is this normal?" Boba asked. "Because it feels like a trap to me."
"This is pretty normal for our people," Din confirmed. "Sewers, old smuggling tunnels, bunkers, all of it makes a pretty good place to hide and a pretty good way to get around without being spotted."
"Hmm,"
said Boba, which wasn't a sound that Din had time to parse. Din just rolled his eyes underneath his helmet and followed after Strill, trusting that Boba would follow, even though they'd not argued on the ship, but had found themselves at odds. Din had gotten half a dozen steps into the tunnel when he heard Boba swear softly and follow behind. Yeah, Din thought, some of the tension coiled in his chest loosening a little. He'll forgive me. Strill knew where she was going. The tunnel was dark, pitch black except for a small light on the side of Strill's helmet that she'd turned on to serve as a guide. Din did the same, switching his vision over to night vision, casting the tunnel in green. Strill took turns and twists with confidence, moving unerringly through the tunnel. Din knew that they were getting close when Strill's stride lengthened, her pace quickening. They rounded one more corner, and Strill called, "Shike, it's me. I brought help." Din slowed. He didn't want to surprise this Shag. Boba came up behind him and slowed too, and together they watched as Strill stopped, waiting, and another Mandalorian came out of the darkness. Strill's tiny light only illuminated a few features. The other Mandalorian, Shag, was tall, maybe 2 or 3 inches taller than Din, and what Din could see of his armor was painted black. He had a rifle in one hand, and his visor reflected a little bit of light. "Found him, then?" the other Mandalorian asked. Despite his height, he sounded even younger than Strill. Din's heart twisted. He stepped a little closer so Jaeg could see him better. "Yes," he said. "She found me. We're here to help." "Oh, good," said Jaeg, in the same sort of dry, wry tone Din had gotten used to hearing from people like Cobb Vanth or Boba. It was the voice of someone who'd gotten used to having things go sideways. "'Cause we've got trouble. The patrols are back, Strill. Saw two this morning. The Empire's here." Strill swore. Din stiffened. Even Boba, who'd arguably been on the best terms with the Empire of all of them, tensed. "How many?" she asked. "Have you been seen?" "Nah, it was Kieran who saw them, and she's hard to spot, but it's only a matter of time." Din took another step forward, fairly confident now that Jaeg wasn't going to try and shoot him. "We're here to help," Din repeated. Where are the foundlings? Where's Paz?" "We're all inside," said Jaeg. "Come on, best to hurry. You Jaren?" "I am," said Din. He tilted his head in Boba's direction. "And this is Fett." "Boba Fett?" Jaeg craned his head around eagerly, sounding almost surprised. Din cocked his head. Strill had known who Boba was when she'd walked into the throne room. "The Boba Fett?" "As far as I know," Boba said dryly. "Is it true you won a firefight with Cad Bane?" Jaeg asked. Din half turned towards Boba, surprised. Din hadn't heard of Cad Bane. "Jaeg," Strill cut in. "Interrogate him later. Where are the kids?" "In the back," said Jaeg, turning away reluctantly. "Kieran's keeping watch over everybody. You brought some Bacta, right?" "Brought a field kit," Din said. "How badly is everyone hurt? The foundlings?" "The kids are fine," Jaeg assured him. "Took's got a banged up head and maybe a broken arm, but he's still talking and walking. Kieran's got a few burns. Myrta is, well, Myrta's Myrta, but she's not any worse than she was when you left, Strill. She's holding steady." "Good," said Strill, relief playing through her vocoder. Din wondered what was wrong with Myrta. Strill had been close-mouthed about the foundlings. She hadn't even told Din their names. "I should have known their names," Din thought. It was Din's Beskar, Din's Clink, that had kept the foundlings fed on Navarro, after all. But the foundlings had been in Paz's care, and Din had mostly stayed clear. He wasn't around often enough for the kids to get to know him, and he hadn't wanted to upset any of them by getting close and then leaving. Shag had led them into another, smaller tunnel. It reminded Din of the little chamber Paz and his people had claimed underneath Mos Entha. There was light here. A dim light cell flickered and cast yellowish shadows over a small cook fire, a tiny cache of supplies, a bedroll. Someone had painted Yaim on the wall in Orabesh. Din wondered if it had been Shag or if it had been one of the foundlings. Someone trying to make the grimy little tunnel feel more like a home. Beyond the bedroll was another darkened tunnel. Shag stopped just before he reached the cook fire, then whistled twice, a high note, then a low one. The sound echoed, distorted by his helmet.
There was a moment of quiet, then a small figure emerged from the mouth of the far tunnel. The foundling was human. Din could see her skin between the edge of her helmet and her collarbone, and short, though she was clearly well cared for. She was clean, anyway, and her clothes were in one piece, though Din could see where they'd been mended here and there. She had a small blaster in her hand, which she dropped once she saw Jaig and the others.
"Strill," said the kid. "You brought help!"
Behind the girl, another foundling stuck his head warily out from the tunnel. This one didn't have a Beskar helmet. His was the molded metal and Katarn construction their lore had favored when Beskar had been thin on the ground. One of the kid's arms was pinned into a sling. Took, Din thought. The skinny girl must be Kieran, then. Neither of them looked much older than 10 or 11 standard. Too young to be on the run like this, Din thought. He cleared his throat gently, catching the foundling's attention. "I'm Din," he said, keeping his voice soft. "Do you remember me? My armor used to be red."
"I remember you," said the girl, Kieran.
She touched her helmet, and Din saw a raw, shiny burn spanning the back of her hand. He winced. She'd strayed too close to an engine, it looked like. Scavenging, maybe.
"You brought back the Beskar for me and Myrda's helmets. You sponsored us."
"I did," Din said, nodding. He took a careful step closer, bringing the field kit off his shoulder. The boy, Took, shied away, ducking back into the safety of the tunnel, but Kieran wasn't afraid. "That was my job. Do you mind if I take a look at that burn on your hand? I'm here to help." Kieran looked at Strill and Jaig first. Strill nodded encouragingly, which was all that Kieran needed to dart over to Din and offer her hand. The back of her hand was one raw weal. Someone, probably Jaig, had done a good job cleaning the burn out and keeping wound rot from setting in, but the edges of the burn were red and angry, and the center was translucent, filled with fluid. "Here," Din said. "I brought Bacta."
"I don't need any," Kieran said, pulling her hand away.
Din let her, not wanting to startle her. "Paz needs it more, or Took." "Don't worry," Din said, opening the kit all the way so Kieran could see all of the supplies Din had brought. "I have plenty." "And there's more where we're going, kid," Boba added gruffly. "Take the Bacta. That looks painful."
"Who's he?"
Kieran whispered, shifting a little closer to Din. Din smiled and used the opportunity to fit a Bacta patch over Kieran's burn. It would do in a pinch anyway. "He's a friend," Din assured her. "I met him after I left the covert."
"Like we met Jaig and Strill?"
Din nodded. "Just like that," he said. He let Kieran go, looking behind the kid to eye Took, who was still fidgeting at the mouth of the other tunnel. Din fished out a few more rolls of Bacta and gave them to Kieran. "For Took," he explained. "You can help him put them on, okay?" Kieran nodded seriously. All foundlings were taught basic first aid. Din straightened back up, looking at Strill. "Where's Paz?" he asked. "We'll need to leave as soon as everyone is stable enough to travel. And your other foundling, Myrda, does she need Bacta?" "Probably can't hurt," Jaig said. Din tossed him a few rolls. He looked at Boba, who was watching Kieran try to get some Bacta on Took. "Paz is back there," Still said, jerking her chin at the other tunnel. "With any luck, he's unconscious, but if he isn't, just go slow. He's twitchy." Din nodded seriously. "I'll be careful," he said. "When do you want to leave?" "Soon," Strill muttered. "Go on, go get Vizsla upright. Darvod, want to come with me and make sure the coast is clear?" "Stop calling me that," Boba growled, but he did as instructed. Strill went back the way they'd come, Boba trailing behind her. Jaig had the foundlings in hand. Din nodded again, steeling himself, and skirted the others, stepping into the last darkened tunnel. There was a light cell in here, too, but it was set so low that Din had to take a moment to adjust. More bedrolls were here. 3 little nests for the foundlings, a heap of blankets big enough for someone Jaig's size, and a rough pallet. Din switched his visor's view field again, trying to maximize his field of vision. On top of the pallet, swaddled in blankets and stripped of all his armor except for his helmet, was Paz. Paz was awake. He was so still that it was hard to tell at first. He was propped up against the wall, lower half covered by a thick blanket, his big barrel chest barely moving. He'd been stripped out of his kuta, too, left in just a thin shirt. But he did have a blaster in his hand, and he cocked it when Din stepped into the tunnel. Din put his hands out so Paz could see him, and shifted so that if Paz did shoot, he'd catch Din's armor and not one of the foundlings.
"Paz," Din said. "Paz, it's me." Paz made a raspy, awful sound. Even in the dim light, Din could see the sheen of sweat that covered Paz's skin.
"He has a fever," Din thought. "An infection had set in. No wonder Strill came for help."
"Paz," Din repeated. "It's Din. I'm here to help."
Paz lifted the blaster a little. Din edged closer, still using his body to block the doorway. Paz's hand was trembling. As Din got closer, the sickly sweet stench of a rotting wound, of fever, slipped in underneath his helmet.
"It's me," Din said again. "Your brother."
"Brother," Paz rasped. His voice was broken and gravelly. He had been screaming. But then, to Din's immense relief, Paz chuckled. The sound of it wasn't any better than his voice, but Din relaxed a little anyway. Paz knew him. Paz was at least still well enough to know who Din was.
Paz lowered the blaster.
"Took you long enough," Paz said. "I was starting to think I'd die before I saw your ugly can again."
Din smiled. Everything. Boba's anger, the circular snarl in his thoughts about Death Watch, about their own tribe, the truth Din would have to tell Paz sooner or later, paled in the face of his sheer, simple relief. "You're not dead yet," Din said. "And it's good to see you. Where are you hurt? I'm gonna get you stable, and then I'm gonna get you, all of you, out of here." Paz tipped his head back against the wall.
"Yeah," he said. "It's good to see you too."